Nice to have you here today. As Mike just said here, before we jump into the message this morning, I just want to recognize something we did here. First service at our 9 o'clock service, we had a different service in that we had an ordination service for Brother Harry Houck. Harry has desired to be ordained as a Christian minister for some time, and we facilitated that today. So Harry and Sue, won't you stand up? And I want everybody here to give them a praise the Lord. It was a wonderful, wonderful time. We had a pretty full house for that, and it was just a great honor to be a part of that as the elders laid hands on Harry and set him apart for Christian service. Let me jump right in. I guess the best way to start the message today is to just acknowledge, you know, this ongoing struggle that I think everybody has. But a lot of times we think that the more spiritual you are, the less you deal with this. Anybody else struggle with just a war in your mind? You know, right? You know, and what I mean by that, I mean by, you know, you have this constant battle between faith and fear. You know, knowing that God's in control, knowing that He loves you, knowing that He has your future in His hands, and then just being crippled in some ways by being afraid or by being anxious in life. You know, you go from, you know, wanting to trust God and just giving Him your life, giving Him your situation, giving Him your troubles, and telling Him that, you know, you want Him to, you know, or you pick it back up and you try to control it, or you try to manage it, or you have a, you know, you battle between this constant you know, with your calling, what God wants you to do. You know, talking about this later. You know, what God wants you to accomplish, where He's leading you, where He wants you to go, and then this other side, which is kind of a crippling kind of insecurity that you face life with. In a lot of ways, I think that in and of itself is a description of life. It's of everyone's life. It's an ongoing war. It's an ongoing battle. And here's the thing I want to leave you with today as we begin this new, very important series. Most of life's battles are won or lost in your mind. Now think about that. Most of life's battles are won or they're lost in your mind. That's the battlefield. You know, Romans talks in chapter 12, it talks about renewing your mind. You know, James talks about, you know, thinking on these things, whatever it is, and making sure that what's going on up here is something that is helpful and positive and helps you battle this kind of weapon that the devil uses against us. For example, we know the good news. We know the Word of God is powerful. But here's the thing, folks. The Word of God is not just powerful. It has the power to transform your mind. I mean, think about the most negative place that you could ever be in your life, in your mind. You know, think about that time when your thoughts were just racing and they weren't good, they weren't taking you anywhere positive, and it was just a battle in your mind with that kind of thinking. And then realize that God's Word has the power to transform that into what He wants it to be. You know, I think about the Apostle Paul, how in one place he talks about, you know, he talks about the battle of the mind, the very things that I know I shouldn't do, or the things that I do. You know, he talks about the thought pattern of a believer, the thought pattern of a Christian, and how difficult that is when the devil gets inside that. You know, we see miracles that Jesus did when he cleared people's mind. He gave them a different way to look at life. And I think that the Apostle Paul You know, even himself could be an example of what it looks like to win the battle of your mind. Because when you study the Apostle Paul before he encountered Jesus, and who he was later, for example, when he wrote these words in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 3 and 4, I think I have it up here for you. Look at this. He says, "For though we live in the world, we do not wage war as the world does. The weapons we fight with are not the weapons of the world. On the contrary, they have divine power to demolish strongholds." Now think about that. He's contrasting the weapons that we have with the weapons of the world. Remember Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane the night before he was crucified, and it says that they came, Judas gave him a kiss, they came to arrest him, and one stepped out, and Peter, you know, Peter stepped out and he took up a sword and he harmed them, he cut off the man's ear, right? And Jesus chastised him and said, you know, if you fight with those kinds of weapons, this is where it brings you. But he says, listen, folks, I'm giving you a new way to do battle with the forces of darkness in this world. He said they have divine power, not just power, but divine power. You think about the most powerful weapon that you could ever imagine, and then you put God in its midst, and how powerful that would be. Matter of fact, one of the terms that he uses here when he's talking about strongholds, it's a military term. It's about a fortress. Back in this day, they always built a fortress on the highest peak of the city, and they would reinforce it with a wall, sometimes 20 feet thick, that would go around it so that you could see your enemy before he got in your presence. And that when he got there, the obstacles that were before him would be overwhelming. And he's saying, listen, folks, what we have is even a greater power than that. So when we come today, we can't talk about trust. We can't talk about succeeding. We can't talk about becoming until we talk about that the power to do all of those things comes from winning this spiritual battle that starts in your mind. Listen, folks, the enemy tries to shape our thinking. The enemy tells us little lies that are built upon themselves that over time become something really big that keeps us from doing the things that God wants us to do. So really what I want to do today is just to encourage you not to trust, not to listen, not to allow those little lies to compound upon your life and bring you to a point that you believe a lie rather than believing the truth. He says we demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God, and we take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ. Winning the war in your mind. It all starts with that. You know, I read once, and I love this. This is a quote. It said that our minds are always moving in the direction of our strongest thoughts. Think about that. Our mind is always moving in the direction of our strongest thoughts. I believe that to be true. Matter of fact, I think that a lot of times our unconscious experiences kind of show us that. I know this is true in my life. I'm not saying this is true in your life or anybody else's life, but I always used to dream weird. Do you dream weird? I have somewhat of a weird, if I would tell you my dreams, Arlene and I do this all the time. We tell each other our dreams if we remember them. And we always just try to outdo one another. You know, I have these weird dreams. I have these recurring dreams that happen in my life. And you know, I don't put much credence in trying to understand everything that there is about a dream. But I do know that most of the time I dream about things that's on my mind. You know, or something around that situation in your dream. It makes you think that, you know what, my mind is like working that way. You can see your mind and your heart and your experiences, you know, turning in that. I remember I had a dream recently where I don't remember a whole lot about it, but I spit out this equation in my dream to someone that was in my dream. And in my dream, I said, John, you got to be dreaming because you don't know that stuff. You know what I'm saying? Like a math equation or something. I was telling somebody how to fix something or how to overcome something. And in my dream, I'm like, John, you don't know that. How can you? It was like so weird. But here's the thing. The point is I think that we desire to know those things. And we desire to get better. Let me get off this because this is getting weird. Okay? But here's the point. We got to win the war in our minds because our lives are always moving in the direction of our strongest thought. The Bible and science agree. You can look this up. The Bible and science agree that our cognitive behavior and the psychology of that shows these rational challenges, things like, you know, eating disorders and addictions and forms of anxiety, that they're a direct result of our thinking mind. And a lot of times they come to speak to our toxic thinking. And if we can get away from that, if we can win that battle, if we can understand what Paul talks about in Romans when he says, you know, renew your mind by the transforming of your mind in him. Give yourself a new life. If we would understand that he's, listen, our foe is against principalities. We do not fight against flesh and blood. And that we are to take thought every captive and make it obedient to Christ. There it is, folks. There it is. Taking every thought captive and making it obedient to Christ. Proverbs 23 says, and I love this, verse 7, for as he thinks in his heart, so is he. Your life, my life, is really a reflection of the thoughts we think. And you know, for some of us, that's like scary. Our life is pretty much a reflection of the thoughts that we think. And if we control our thought life, if we bring captive our thoughts, we bring them into Jesus Christ, if we win the war in our mind, if our lives are moving in the direction of our strongest thoughts, if we make those strongest thoughts about him, then as he thinks in his heart, so is he. That's the way we can become all that God wants us to be. If you think you can't, you probably won't. If you think you can, you may very well. If you dwell on problems all the time, they will overwhelm you. But if you allow God to help you look for solutions, I promise you'll find some. If you always feel like the victim and everybody's against you, you'll become one. But if you look for the good, the truth in every situation, and ask God how you can be an overcomer, he will help you to be just that. The life that you have is a reflection of the thoughts that you think. You think about this, and I know this is true. You know, you have worried people that think about, you know, let me put it to you this way. I remember, you know, when I was a youngster, you know, my desire was to get be grown, you know, and then I really wanted to, you know, I wanted to marry a decent person, and I checked that off my list, you know, and I wanted to graduate from college. You know, and all of these things, when you're in it, you're worried about achieving it. But then once you achieve it, then you replace that worry with something else. You know, I want to graduate from college, and you graduate from college. Well, I need to get a job, and you get a job. Oh my goodness, I want to have a child, and you have a child. And you're like, oh my goodness, I got to raise this child. Oh God, please help me with this. And, you know, and then you get that done, and then what happens? What happens then? When I got to the point when I thought, you know what, I'm pretty much beyond the big worries of life. Then you have grandkids, and it just keeps on and on. But we have to replace that worry with faith. Because all these things, the Bible says that if we seek God and His kingdom, all these things will be added. We're around negative people, critical people, find fault, discontent, everything's hard, everything's busy. But some of the most positive, uplifting, optimistic people have all those same things. But they conquer them with a positive mind. You can consume this life with material things or things about people, or you can realize that we're going to a greater place in eternity where we don't have to worry about any of that. I guess what I'm saying is whatever thought comes into your mind and captures your mind comes out in your life. No matter what you do, where you go, what you have, who you know, what you buy, where you live, where you travel, it's always there. And you cannot have a positive life when you have a negative mind. You know, Arlene and I, 2 weeks ago, we were actually on vacation, and we were on a cruise ship. And it always amazes me how you can just follow people around on these cruise ships and listen to them complain. You know, I don't know, I think part of it might be the way you were raised or whatever, but, you know, where I was raised and how I was raised, I never thought any of that would ever be something that I could enjoy. You know, and, you know, you're out there, they're waiting on you hand and foot, they're feeding you. It's funny, I heard this one guy complaining about it. He hated cruising because there was just too much food. They just all the time feeding you in buffets and this and that. I actually said to him, I said, sir, you know what? I've been on a lot of cruises and they've never laid me down and stuffed it in my mouth. You know, I mean, you have to do that yourself. And you know what? When you're thinking about being a positive person, somebody else can't make you a positive person. A positive person, you have to choose that for yourself. And your life will always move in the direction of your strongest thoughts. And we need to be excited about that. So here's what I wanted to do. I wanted to give you some thoughts to have that will help you to move forward in this. Okay, here's the first one. The first one is that you need to identify the stronghold that's holding you back. Whoever you are in this room this morning, whatever's going on in your life, whatever's happening to you or has happened to you or is continuing to happen to you that makes you look at life in a negative way, to think that you're not worthy, to think that you can't and that you never will, you need to identify the biggest stronghold that is holding you back. You know, I'm not good enough. My past is too bad. I have trust issues. I always battle this, that, and the other. You know, I always battle my weight. I'm not good with money. I can't get close to God. I never have loved a job. All my relationships break down. Whatever that might be for you, identify that stronghold and that negative thinking that goes on in your life. You see, because Caroline Leaf actually said that every thought creates a neurochemical change in your body. Every thought. And if it's a negative thought, the chemical change in the makeup in your body it can make you sick. But on the other hand, if it is positive, you know, these rewarding neurotransmitters, she says, this dopamine, whatever, this positive hit, this chemical buzz, that it can give you so much energy and courage to do the things that you know that you should be doing. There are billions of pathways in your brain, and we have to exercise those positive ones to get us to look at the way, life the way God wants us to. You know, more often than you think, it's easier to be negative than it is to be positive. Creating unhelpful neural pathways is easy. But to redo that, to remap that, to make that go to a different place is an effort and an achievement that one must want. In other words, to think in a different way, to forge a new path in your brain, to walk by faith, and to walk the path that God wants you to do. It becomes easier over time, but it doesn't start in and of itself. Identify the biggest stronghold and speak God's word into it. In other words, name the truth that will demolish that stronghold. He says we demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God, and we take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ. Take captive. It's a term about war, about battle, to capture, to make it subservient to you, to make it obedient to you. Have you ever noticed that when you talk about the armor of God, every part of the armor of God is defensive? You have the helmet and the breastplate and, you know, all this kind of stuff. But the sword is the only offensive weapon in the armor of God. And the sword, we know, of course, is God's word. God's word is the source of that. His divine power has given us everything we need for a godly life. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 3. Time, patience, energy, wisdom, people, resources. God has given you everything that you need to live a godly life. And John 8:32 adds to that, that we need to know the truth. We need to embrace the truth and open the door to be free. You know, I read recently about a young lady that had been held captive for a number of years. And one day she got up the courage when her captor wasn't quite paying attention. And she slipped out an open door. And she found freedom. Let me tell you something, folks. Every one of us this morning, we're near a door that needs to be opened that leads to freedom. I mean, if you're here this morning and you kind of look at things negatively because you just can't get everything done, listen, God's word says that we can do all things through Christ who gives us strength. And in our weakness, he can make us strong. You know, someone once said, well, listen, I'm not very attractive and I can't attract the opposite sex. Don't allow the devil to take you down that path. You are fearfully and wonderfully made, and you are made in the image of the God who loves you. If you're here today and you just feel miserable about everything else in life, the joy is the Lord is my strength. If you feel all alone, God is with you. He will never leave you. That has been his promise. If you feel like a victor, he says that you can be an overcomer. You are more than conquerors through him who strengthens you. You see, folks, it's the lies that the devil puts in our minds that gets us to go down those roads. And eventually what's happened, we become locked in our own prison, a prison of our own making by our negative thinking. And I say to you today, don't stay in that place, because Jesus came and he brought the keys to be free of all of that. What were the keys? The keys were simply that he told us that he wants us to bring every thought captive to him. And then he's given us the word of God that is powerful and mighty. And when we are able to name the truth, and demolish that stronghold, then we can be free. And we can be free, and we can be free indeed. Paul says, we take captive every thought and make it obedient to Christ. You know what? That is a holy achievement. That is a perspective on life that I'm not sure I've ever met anyone that's achieved that. Every thought captive. I've known people that I think are close to that. But I can't imagine what strength would be ours if we got to this point where every thought we bring captive to Him. And as we do that, what does He say we get? We get strength, and we get mission, and we get purpose. So let's overcome those negative thoughts and allow our greatest thought to guide us. And that greatest thought is simply obedience to the Lord Jesus Christ and to His power in our lives. Let's pray. Father, as we identify, name, and take control over the things that try to control us, we just pray, Father, that You give us the strength to do that. God, this has been a good day. It's been a holy day, a wonderful day of sharing with Harry and his family, and to recognize, Lord, that he is entering into a time in his life that is wonderful. And Father, we just join him in celebrating that. And Lord, I just pray that You would be with him and the Team Effort youth this week as they have their last week of helping folks here in the church. And God, we just thank You for this opportunity to study this beautiful passage. It talks about our thoughts, Lord. Every battle we wage is battled first in our mind. So God, I pray that we would win those battles in our mind before the battles ever rage outward in our lives and in our families and in public and with the people around us. Lord, if we win the battle in our mind, peace and prosperity comes to our lives and to those that we love. So, Father, I just pray You'd give us the strength and the courage to wage that war as You've asked us to. And we just give ourselves to You, Lord, in complete surrender as we sing and as we share together today. In Jesus' name, amen.